Professional athletes get paid a lot of money to play sports. College athletes may get a scholarship, but they don't get paid for playing. The National Collegiate Athletic Association expects to generate about $422 million in revenue from sports this year. Commentator Frank DeFord thinks they ought to share a little of that with the players.
Last month in the Masters, a senior at the University of Arizona, Ricky Barnes, playing head-to-head with Tiger Woods, outshot him over the first 36 holes and ended up the tournament only 3 strokes over par. Barnes should have pocketed a nice paycheck, but he had to settle for a pat on the back. That is, he played the same course as Woods and all the other PGA players. He beat most of them, but while they got paid, he didn't. That's because, of course, Ricky Barnes is something called an amateur, and while we have reached the 21st century, in American sports we still have these antiquated 19th century rules about amateurism. Essentially, we can thank the British upper classes for amateurism. They wanted to keep sports to themselves, so as long as they made it so that poorer people couldn't afford to take the time to play without reward, then only the rich could practice and compete. Then when we adopted Victorian amateurism in many of our sports, we covered it with the veil of the Olympics. Only it wasn't so. The old Greeks didn't waste their time running and jumping just to get a laurel wreath. The Greeks paid their Olympic champions handsomely. But the myth persists. When the NCAA was established, amateur rules were made ironclad, and it's awfully hard to break them because we in America have big-time sports tied up with academics. In most sports, American players have little chance to compete unless they go to college and play by the college rules, even when they're not in college. I think good arguments can be made that football and basketball players in Division I schools should be paid by the colleges. I'll grant, though, it's an expensive and debatable proposition. But pray, what are the arguments that an athlete like Ricky Barnes should also be denied compensation when he is not competing for his college? If Ricky Barnes wants to accept a scholarship to Arizona and play free for the Arizona team, fine. But why should Arizona deny him remuneration when he is only competing as Ricky Barnes? The NCAA is simply a cartel when it disallows athletes that right. Why should a college student who happens to be a good athlete be denied the same rights as a college student who is a good musician or a good writer or a good actor? The kid who has these talents is, in fact, encouraged to get a paying summer job at his specialty to improve his skills. Why should a college basketball player be denied the same rights as a college piano player? And the answer, of course, is because the NCAA adopted Victorian rules a century ago and maintains them today because it has the power to do so. The irony is, too, that if the NCAA lifted those old-fashioned regulations, it would help college sports. The NBA, say, could draft a college player who was not yet quite good enough for the league, pay him and let him stay in college where he would get good coaching and develop while boosting the popularity of his college team and college basketball. Why should the NCAA care or bear any authority about where or how a college player makes money outside of college? Amateur is supposed to be about the love of the game. In truth, it's about how the NCAA loves the way it controls our athletes and denies them the same rights as our other talented young people enjoy.
The comments of Frank DeFord, senior contributing writer at Sports Illustrated. He joins us each Wednesday from member station WSHU in Fairfield, Connecticut.